From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
And welcome back to Dale Carter's America, recorded on November 20th, a Red Monday in Kansas City, thus the attire. I'm Dale Carter with Kurt Wheeler. You are also wearing red.
I am, yeah.
Is Philly not your hometown?
It is. Yeah, it is. It's the one of the games where I get to be happy no matter who wins. So
yeah, like Mama Kelsey.
Yep, absolutely.
She's going to be happy either way this goes.
Yeah.
It's also Thanksgiving week, which we'll get to here in just a little bit. We thank Bob Watson for jumping on board to be a sponsor of Dale Carter's America. He is my State Farm guy, and he could be your State Farm guy as well. State Farm, of course, has surprisingly great rates. It's always better when you bundle, and it's always best when you've got a team on your side led by Bob Watson. Now, he's based in Blue Springs, but he's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, and he's ready to handle all of your insurance needs. 816-229-7878, 816-229-7878. Over the break that we've had, he had kind of an open house there at his place. It's on Main Street in Blue Springs. And I stopped by, and it was kind of a fun deal.
Nice.
Got a little free lunch out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, did he have any snacks? Or
absolutely. Hot dogs and chili and all kinds of good stuff. And a bunch of folks who listen to the podcast who are now clients of Bob Watson State Farm. So what we're doing, it seems to be working.
That's great.
And I'm going to take a victory lap here because that tax deal that was on the ballot earlier in November, it was defeated in Kansas City. Actually, Jackson County defeated it with the votes of Eastern Jackson County. It was the internet use tax, like 1.38%, you know, on sales on the internet, which we can talk about here a little bit. But what I think this shows is that our movement to get away from Kansas City and set up our own county, people are listening to it, they're hearing it, and here was a tax that, you know, I could probably get behind because I understand what they're trying to do here. They're trying to level the playing field between brick-and-mortar stores and internet sales, which you have to have a special provision that voters have to vote on in order to tax internet sales, and they are not taxed right now. So the taxing entities that you do pay taxes on when you buy things at, let's say, Walmart or your favorite store or whatever, that is not being collected on sales on the internet unless there's a special ordinance passed. So I could kind of get behind that, but I'm not behind anything coming out of Jackson County. I want us to say no to everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely say no. And who knows? Maybe we won't have to get a vote of the people. Maybe Kansas City folks will throw us out. Right?
Yeah. That's kind of what we talked about at the last live event too, is, you know, we push the buttons enough, and maybe they'll want to get rid of us.
Yeah. And so after this vote, which was really interesting, KNBC Channel 9 put up an article on their website, is the stadium issue in trouble after this vote? And again, I can't believe that they went with this internet. This just shows you how tone deaf they are at the courthouse in downtown Kansas City, how tone deaf they must be, because they know what a joke the assessment thing was, and they came with this tax thing, and they didn't even talk about it. They buried it like a cat turd. I saw that it was going to be on the ballot. We talked about it on the podcast, and with the votes of Eastern Jackson County, it passed in Kansas City. Did you know that?
That's not surprising.
In Kansas City proper, it passed, but overwhelmingly, we voted no in Eastern Jackson County, and so now the question is, will the stadium initiatives for Jackson County be in trouble?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a sign, you know, that people are changing their tune and not, you know, so down for just getting taxed for all of these pet projects of the city. You know, we had obviously the streetcar, we had the new airport, which are sort of different, you know, but I think most people realize there's nothing wrong with the stadiums that we have now. So
exactly. And you know, the zoo is another thing that we pay taxes on in Jackson County and Clay County. Mm. You know, when there have been things on the ballot to get Johnson County on board, they always vote no. So, you know, I ask at the Bob Watson thing, I was talking to several people. I'm like, what is the benefit to us who live in Eastern Jackson County of being in Jackson County? And the only thing that I heard was, well, the stadiums, Okay. Well, we could still go to Chiefs games and Royals games.
Right.
Let's just let somebody else pay for it.
Yeah.
Let's do exactly what they're doing in Platte County and Johnson County and Wyandotte County. Let's let somebody else pay for it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to bar you from going to the games
they
if
won't.
You don't move there.
No. Mayor Q weighed in on KCMO Talk Radio, and I just heard a little clip of it. Pete Mundo asked him about it, and he says, well, they've obviously got a messaging problem there in Jackson County. Yeah. I'd say you do have a messaging problem, and our message to you is we want out.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue working that. Jeff Coleman and I, in fact, he owes me a phone call today. We're talking about that, among other things that we're talking about. So patience with us, please, because we'll slowly get to where it is we want to get. And eventually there will be a vote here at some point, and we'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. Medicare Simplified KC. They're right in the middle of the Medicare annual enrollment period, and there are a bunch of changes, significant changes to Medicare plans for 2024. If you've not heard about this or haven't had any contact yet with your agent or broker, you really should reach out to Kirk Doris or Lori Hocker at Medicare Simplified KC. You can find them on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. They're at 816-701-6661. They offer no cost, no pressure, comprehensive consultations that provide you with the factual information on which you can base an informed decision on as far as your Medicare plan selections for 2024. Kirk and Lori, very experienced, knowledgeable, most importantly, ethical. These are important decisions that need to be based on fact that's provided by professionals you can trust. Kirk and Lori have built a client base of thousands of Kansas Cityans that will attest that they are that caliber of professionals. Medicare Simplified KC.com. All right, going down or coming out? I love listening to the commercials on KFKF that you have with Dr. Mark Terramina, because he is so funny in a really dry kind of a way.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, he's with us on the podcast, Midwest GI Health and Wellness. They cover the entire digestive tract, whether it's something going down the pipe or coming out the pipe. They've got you covered. And on a serious note, you really ought to schedule your colonoscopy. And that used to be a 50-plus thing. Now it's 45-plus. So if you're 45 or older and you have not had your colonoscopy yet, call Dr. Terramina and the pros at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. You may have to have a referral from your insurance company. They can sort all that out when you make this phone call. But they are Google-rated 4.9 out of 5 stars. That is the highest in the Kansas City metro. They're conveniently located in Lee's Summit, Missouri, and it's one-stop shopping. So 816-836-2200. Call them and schedule. 816, and I have to do a Chiefs game tonight yet. 816-836-2200. They're on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com.
You can give them a referral from Dale Carter's America. I don't know if that's going to work for your insurance, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, they may.
You could try.
Yeah,
this is not legally binding medical information. You know,
I've watched several doctor shows for a while. I was hooked on Grey's Anatomy, so
yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Just pretend that I'm a doctor or whatever.
Yeah.
Some political news here, and obviously we're going into an election year. It's going to be quite the silly season, but some things right off the top here. First of all, condolences to the Carter family. No relation. Very distantly related, probably. Former President Jimmy Carter's wife, Rosalynn, has died. She was in hospice care very briefly. Jimmy Carter's been in hospice since February, and he's 99. Man, that bird is tough, and he is hanging on. She was 96 years old. We mourn the passing of the former First Lady. Interesting times, and if you think about it, if you live long enough, you kind of see patterns in history. And I think there are a lot of similarities between the Biden administration and the one term of Jimmy Carter. If you think about that, Biden is going to run again, allegedly. He's turning 81 today. Today's his birthday. And I think there's degrees of being 81 years old. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's an old 81.
Yeah.
Very
I mean,
old.
81 is 81, though. I mean, there's no real way around it. But
yeah,
I have family members, you know, one in particular that I can think of right now that she's, I think, older than 81. And she's, you know, in great shape. She goes to bowling every week. You know, she is very with it mentally and everything. But that's not as common. You know, a lot of people when they hit 80, they start declining significantly. Yeah. So,
well, and we're seeing the decline because he's got the biggest job in the world, and you're seeing his decline on center stage throughout this presidency. His birthday present that he got from NBC News was not good. His latest approval rating is at 40%. That is the lowest of his presidency. Overall, the poll shows 57% of all registered voters disapprove of the president's job performance. And again, that ties in to Jimmy Carter. Now, you weren't around then. And you weren't born yet, right? Of course, no. You weren't born yet.
No.
But think about the similarities here. You had Jimmy Carter, who came in after the whole Nixon thing. Joe Biden comes in after Donald Trump. Okay, so there's some similarities there. Carter's presidency was dreadful for the economy. We got the new term stagflation that came out of the Jimmy Carter presidency. The misery index came out of the Jimmy Carter presidency. And we were embarrassed by the Iranians during the Jimmy Carter presidency. And all of a sudden, here comes Ronald Reagan along, who had run a couple of times. And the Carter people were like, gosh, I really hope Ronald Reagan runs. You know, and Ted Kennedy tried to flank him on the left. There's some of that going on with the Biden presidency as well. Jimmy Carter famously said that if Ted Kennedy gets in the 1980 election, I'll kick his ass.
Nice.
Yeah. But
back when you could actually say stuff like that in politics.
Yeah. Well, so that didn't happen. So Carter wanted Reagan. How'd that work out? Careful what you wish for. Hillary Clinton, if you think about it, in 2016, she was hoping against hope that she could run against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Yep.
And now the Biden people, if they're being honest with you, they say they want Trump.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I haven't really seen that. But yeah, it's interesting because after Carter, it was Reagan that came in. But this
and
time
he cleaned
it's
up the
be,
mess.
It's going to be Trump version 2 that's going to come in. So it's slightly different.
And clean up the mess. And, you know, the interesting thing about a Trump second presidency is he'd be term limited out.
Yeah.
So, you know, there wouldn't be any re-election campaign. Just let him get in there and do what he does.
Yep.
So that's going to be interesting to see all of that play out. And there's so many games being played right now, politically speaking. Iowa and New Hampshire Democrats, they have decided they're going to go ahead with their plans for the caucus and primary without the president on the ballot. Hmm. How weird will that be?
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Yeah. Biden and the DNC want South Carolina to be first because he's pandering to the black vote. I mean, it's clear pandering, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird that, I mean, I guess he is the leader of the party, so he can have a lot of influence on the DNC and how they operate their elections. But it's kind of weird that, you know, they're putting pressure on the DNC and these various states to change the way that they're organizing their primaries and caucuses in order to benefit, you know, one candidate. It seems like preferential treatment.
Yeah.
So it's good that they're, you know, not doing that.
There's some speculation that in New Hampshire there will be a write-in campaign for Joe Biden just to show the strength of Joe Biden in the Granite State.
Can you imagine liking Joe Biden so much that you put him as a write-in even when he's not on the ballot? I mean, who would do that?
I can't imagine anybody does that.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, Biden had more votes than anybody else in the history of the Republic, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so if you're one of those people who were clamoring to vote for Biden, not voting for Biden, voting against Trump, and you see what this 2.5, almost 3 years has been like, you really going to sign up for more of that? I don't think they'll vote for Trump, but I think a lot of people will stay home.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. So Biden has rolled out a marketing plan that is aimed at blacks and Hispanics that sows fear about what a Republican president—
On his first day in—
i.e. Donald Trump would do. And that's what they're selling out there. They're selling fear. You know, it's like all the goodies that we're giving you are going to go away. And then, you know, one of my favorite lines, I don't know if you have a clip of this or not, about they're going to put him back in chains. And we'll talk about that coming up. But you got some spots you want to run.
Yeah. These are just kind of recent ads that I found on YouTube. And it's not so much with the fear stuff because they don't put that as much in the ads, but you can see based on the representation of who's in the ad.
On his first day in office, with the country in crisis, President Biden got to work for us.
Of course, they show January 6th.
Cutting black child poverty in half. More money for black entrepreneurs. Millions of new, good-paying jobs. He's lowered the cost of living and prescription drugs. But there's more to do. He gets it because we all deserve dignity, safety, respect, and a chance to do more than just get by, but to get ahead.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Well, there's a lot of black faces in that.
Not a single white person.
A black female voiceover, too. I don't know if you picked up on that. So definitely the messaging is there.
And then they have this one. Which is just
cada acto.
Straight up in Spanish.
I only had one semester of that in college, so I'm not going to be able to help you.
Yeah.
Cada acto, cada programa de Joe Biden es por alguien. Desde que asumió la presidencia, el desempleo en nuestra comunidad bajó a la mitad. Nuestros negocios son los de mayor crecimiento.
Replace the black people with Hispanic people, right?
That'd be funny if Trump did a Spanish commercial. He's like, me gusta los mexicanos. Me gusta very much.
La situación económica. Y para nuestras familias, el precio de la insulina, $35. Porque ese alguien por quien está luchando el presidente Joe Biden no son los ricos y poderosos. Somos nosotros.
I'm the Hispanic people, muy bien. We love them, don't we? Yes, we do.
I mean, did he do a spot for gay people? I mean, who has he not pandered to here?
Maybe he should. He should, like, Biden should, like, put on his gay voice and do a LGBT spot.
Put Pete Buttigieg in the spot with
yeah,
him.
Hey, watch it.
Hey, well.
No, I'm just
so, what else? You got some other stuff.
Well,
some...
so then this was another clip that I pulled up because
is that a Klan robe?
I think we've talked about this already, but this is just a really funny clip from him at a HBCU.
Stand up against the poison of white supremacy as I did my inaugural address to a single hour.
Inaugural.
The most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
Really? Is it? Is it?
And I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU.
The delay is the best part. Like he delays on that. And then the last one that I have here is.
Did you find the chains clip?
Yes, yes, yes. That's what we're about to watch here. I got to click buttons, click that button, then click this button. Here we go.
Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Oh, my God. He actually said that out loud, which in the point there that he makes, he was running against Mitt Romney then.
Yeah.
He was Biden's or Obama's VP, and they were running against Mitt Romney, who they love now.
Yeah.
But Mitt Romney, he's going to put y'all back in chains.
That whole thing, I think, is just proof that, you know, people will try and say that Trump is too divisive. He's too explosive or whatever. You know, he says mean things on Twitter. That's why they're calling him a racist and an anti, you know, xenophobe or whatever they want to say. And no, I mean, that we have the evidence. We have the tape that they say that about anyone. They say that about Mitt Romney, the most milquetoast, boring Republican, like, to ever run for office, who literally has adopted, like, four black kids, you know? Like, he's like...
Are they in chains?
I don't know. We should look into that. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
It's going to be fun. Just buckle in. It's going to be flying left and right. But I will tell you this, that Biden does have a secret weapon, and that is the Democrat turnout, mobilizing Democrat turnout. And while we didn't see it in those two spots, I'm assuming it wasn't in the Hispanic spot. Again, my Spanish is a little rusty here. But they will do it by sowing fear. And they will turn out their Democrat base to get out and vote better than Republicans will. And as pissed off as people are about what's going on in the country, I find that hard to believe. But I think it's probably true that the Democrat turnout, because the voting public has the attention span of a gnat. And it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, we got to vote Democrat. Got to vote Democrat. Got to vote Democrat. And they'll get their turnout.
Yeah.
So Republicans better get in the game, better get on board, because otherwise, you know, we're going to have a problem. In the last election that we just saw, Democrats came out pretty good in that election.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this before, but they also have a kind of baked in advantage in terms of how the election works, you know, in terms of the population centers, people's ability to be able to go canvas and go, you know, ballot harvesting and other things. And then with all of the mail-in stuff and the voting not on election day, voting by mail, absentee ballots, all that stuff benefits Democrats very significantly. So I think that's a big part of it, too, is just the infrastructure of the election process. If we can actually get that back to how it's supposed to be, where we vote on election day in person with a photo ID, then that'll really, you know, make things a lot more fair, yeah, and really turn things in the favor of Republicans.
I'd still be on board for creating a federal holiday on election day, just to get everybody, give them the opportunity to get out there and vote.
I think that's a fair trade. You know, if we have only day of voting, you know, unless there's some crazy, you know,
extenuating circumstances.
If you're in the military and you're deployed overseas, for example, that is a legitimate reason for you to have an absentee ballot or something. But if you're just like on vacation, or you just don't feel like it, or you're busy that day, that's not an excuse. Like, then don't vote. Then you don't get to vote. I'm sorry. But if we can actually return it to in-person day of voting with photo ID, then absolutely, you know, creating a federal holiday would be a good trade-off for that.
One of the issues that we missed by being out last week was that California, man, it got spit shined, didn't it? All the shit got cleaned off the sidewalks. The homeless people got moved out just in time for the actual owner of the country to show up. You know, President Xi came over from China to kind of check out what he owns, because China keeps buying up more and more of our country. And let's face it, they own our president.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of scary, honestly, to see, you know, some of the sites. Obviously, we weren't there because we're in Kansas City, not San Francisco. But there was I'll pull up this video. This was the motorcade. The music is a little much. I'll just mute that. but yeah, this was the Xi's motorcade driving through San Francisco, and you can see all the Chinese flags you know, Chinese writing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really dystopian, honestly. It's kind of weird. And, you know, the fact that they cleaned up the whole city, they got rid of the homeless people, who knows what they did with them.
But well, they moved them somewhere else.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just weird, man. And, I mean, maybe
where are the American flags? I mean, you know, if the Chinese leader's coming, why can't we have one of each, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to our country. We got your flag. We got our flag over here.
Or how about we just don't have any Chinese flags, because are they not an adversary to America?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're not like at war or anything, but they're clearly an adversary. They, like you said, I mean, they pretty much own us in a lot of ways, in terms of manufacturing, in terms of economic stuff, in terms of foreign policy. There's some serious, you know, conflict building there. And so, I mean, of course, the president and public leaders, you know, are going to be meeting with various people. And I don't have any problem with that. President Trump met with Xi. Obama met with Xi. So there's nothing inherently wrong about that.
No,
by itself,
of course not.
But, you know, like, to have all of these Chinese flags and stuff, I mean, that should just be banned. It should be like, nope, get that crap out of here. You know, like,
were they in Chinatown at least?
I don't know.
Well, and of course, you know, Joe, in those meetings, genuflected to President Xi as well. Because let's face it, the biggest issue between the two countries right now is Taiwan and the future of Taiwan. And Xi made it very clear that they intend to bring Taiwan back into the fold.
Yeah.
And Joey didn't offer much of an argument there. No red line. It's like, that is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of dystopian, have you ever seen The Man in the High Castle? You know what I'm talking about?
That was like an Amazon Prime show or something like that. No,
yeah.
I haven't seen that.
It kind of imagines a world where we lost World War II, and Japan gets everything west of the Rockies, and Germany gets everything east of the Rockies. Mm. And it's, scary world out there, but we think the greatest.
So not good, I'm assuming.
No, it's not. The greatest generation prevented that from happening. So on to the Republican side of the equation, the Republican field continues to thin. One of the things that benefited Donald Trump was the fact that there was a massive number of Republicans who ran in 2016. Now that field is winnowing. Tim Scott dropped out. I like Tim Scott a lot. I think he says a lot of positive things and would make a great president. And now also from South Carolina, Nikki Haley is kind of moving up to kind of fill that role. So now it's kind of it's a Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, than everybody else.
Yeah. Here's Tim Scott's announcement.
Meeting people has been one of the most fantastic experiences of my entire life. I love America more today than I did on May 22nd. But when I go back to Iowa, it will not be as a presidential candidate. I am suspending my campaign. I think the voters who are the most remarkable people on the planet.
What's this guy's name again on the left?
Gowdy.
Gowdy, yeah, Trey Gowdy.
Almost said Kurt Gowdy. That would be wrong.
That's my name.
Well, Kurt Gowdy was a famous sportscaster.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, his hair is kind of
always
distracting
different.
Me.
Always different.
Really clear that they're telling me not now, Tim. I don't think they're saying Trey no, but I do think they're saying not now. And so
that pretty much means no. I mean, let's be honest.
What about a Trump Tim Scott ticket?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see it shaken up a little bit. You know,
if
honestly,
Trump's the nominee, then who?
Somebody else that's not, you know, really like seated into politics. You know, I mean, it would be great if it. I mean, somebody out there. You know, like a Tucker Carlson, for example. A lot of people are throwing his name out there as a VP candidate. What's wrong with that?
Okay. All right. I just feel like, you know, with a Donald Trump, you need more of an establishment person as the VP or somebody that you are grooming to be the next president. Because again, Trump can't run for a third term. So that whole 4 years is going to be about grooming that next generation of Republican leadership.
Yeah, but I think that people are just tired of establishment Republicans. I mean, that's why he's so popular in the first place. So for him to then take that opportunity to like groom this new like GOP, you know,
well, the guy was president for 4 years. How is he not the establishment?
Right. Yeah, for
now?
Sure. For sure. But I mean, that doesn't change the what he represents, you know, and why people support him.
All right. Well, I know you're not a big fan of Nikki Haley. So how are we going to bag on Nikki Haley?
I've got a well,
I do like Nikki Haley.
That's fine.
Well, thank you. It's my podcast. I can like who I like.
Yes, of course you can, Dale. This was something that I thought was kind of interesting.
When I get into office, the first thing we have to do, social media accounts, social media companies, they have to show America their algorithms. Let us see why they're pushing what they're pushing. The second thing is every person on social media should be verified by their name. That's, first of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, all of a sudden, people have to stand by what they say, and it gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, and the Chinese bots. And then you're going to get some civility when people know their name is next to what they say.
Accountability.
And they know their pastor and their family member is going to see it. It's going to help our kids, and it's going to help our country.
I don't know that that's going to increase civility because we've got some people who jump on our podcast page all the time, and we know that they're real people, and they don't hold back.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very pro free speech to me to be arguing for, you know, forced like public naming of people, basically doxing people. You know, I mean, that people can do whatever they want on the internet. That's why it's the internet. If you want to make a fake name, I mean, I don't think that's great. I have plenty of criticism of that, and there's legitimate criticism of that. You know, you create a fake name, a fake profile, you can be really nasty to people, and nobody knows who you are, or at least that's the perception. But the other kind of ironic thing about that is that Nikki is not her name. That's her middle name. Her first name is something harder to pronounce. That's like Indian or something like that. So she wants people to use their real names online, but she doesn't use her real name in the campaign.
She's
so
using her middle name. I think that's I think that's a little harsh. I mean, my brother uses his middle name. I mean, always has. I mean, we've called him by his middle name his entire life.
That's fair. But it just seems a little disingenuous to me, I guess.
All right. Well, Kurt's really harsh on Nikki Haley. I could also see her as a VP candidate under Trump, although I don't think they get along all that well.
Not as much anymore. Not as much anymore. So,
we'll see. It's all going to play out, and it's going to play out really, really soon here with Iowa and New Hampshire coming up before you know it.
Yeah, it's coming up fast.
While we're talking about politics, so the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, got a bipartisan bill through Congress to get the spending thing so that we won't have this, you know, drama of a government shutdown. And I know that there's a very small minority of Republicans who aren't really happy about it, who wanted to bring everything to a screeching halt. I don't know. I could argue both sides of that.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, the argument for keeping the trains running on time, you know, and I get that we talk about how Republicans are headed toward the cliff at the speed limit. Democrats want to get there at light speed. But at some point, you know, if you have passed these programs, if these programs have been passed, they have to be funded. I mean, you got to grow up, right? If you pass the bill, you got to pay for it. Now, moving forward, stop voting for this shit. Because we do have a $33 trillion debt. And, you know, the Chinese owner was just in the country not that long ago, so much so that we cleaned up the shit off the sidewalk and got the homeless people out of there. They're basically buying our country out from under us. So, I mean, there's certainly a debt problem, but there's also, we got to keep the trains running on time.
Yeah, but I mean, how are we going to solve the problem of the Republicans, you know, doing the speed limit, as you say, if we keep just kicking the can down the road every time?
Right now, you can't do anything because you only have one half of one third of the government. You have one half of one third of the government. You've got a Senate that's controlled by the Democrats and a president who's a Democrat. So you can't do much. But what it ought to show is, you know, there's a path forward here if we can get a Republican Senate. And I know, you know, you're going to say that we've been there before, but here we are again. At least we can tout, do something about it with a Republican Senate and a Republican president. And then if they don't do it, Kurt, I don't know. I give up.
Well, I mean, they can do a lot because the spending bill has to come out of Congress. So if the president and the Senate are proposing things that, you know, the Republican majority in the Congress doesn't agree with, then they don't have to put it in the spending bill, and they can veto it all. They can veto it all they want. Then keep vetoing it. Send it back to us. Right. We'll send it right back to you. Keep vetoing it, and then nothing happens. And then, you know, you put the pressure on them. Use the power that you do have, you know, to the best of your ability.
That's a 60% majority. It's a 3-vote majority.
Right.
And, you know, to what, you know, Mike Johnson said, you can't turn the Titanic on its head. I mean, you know, it's like it turns very slowly. So we'll keep talking about it because we believe in fiscal sanity, and the Democrats don't. I mean, they just want to spend. And at some point, fiscal sanity's got to come into play.
We, as in you and I, certainly believe in that. But, I mean, do we as Republicans or conservatives, like broadly speaking, do we as our elected representatives in Congress believe in fiscal responsibility? They haven't demonstrated that once. You know, ever. So why should we believe that it's like, oh, well, they believe in it. They just haven't done it yet. They just haven't done it yet because there's too much pressure. They only have one half of one third of the government. Oh, we can't do it now because we have to fund the government, you know, with this at the same level that we're doing now, right, to keep it going. You know, they'll do it next time. How long are we going to keep doing that
for? Well, there is historical precedent for doing it. It was when Bill Clinton was president working with Newt Gingrich. I mean, right, we got to a balanced budget and we had surpluses as far as the eye could see. And then we were attacked on 9/11. We had to fight a war over that. Maybe we didn't have to fight that second war out of that. I don't know. That's certainly up for debate. And then we got hit with a pandemic, you know, so Donald Trump had to spend a lot of money that I'm sure he didn't want to spend. So, I mean, there is precedent for it. We know we've got a problem. Moody's just downgraded America's credit rating outlook to negative. That's bad. That's really bad. Yeah. And Americans are living off of their credit cards now because they're doing exactly what the government does. But there will be a time of reckoning for all this stuff. It will happen. We cannot keep spending like, you know, drunken sailors.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
There is good news. Stock market actually rebounded as inflation is finally receding. Believe it or not, gas prices are going down because demand is going down because nobody's going anywhere. But that's gonna turn around at some point as well. There's hope that the Fed will actually cut rates by March. There are some people that wish they wouldn't because you want that misery index pinging away as people are going to the polls. You certainly don't want to see any improvement that Joe Biden could go out there and say, hey, see what I did. Hey, it's my 81st birthday. Ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if the gas price goes down, you know, 2 cents, he'll take credit for that.
He will, and it has gone down a little more than 2 cents. But, you know, as somebody like me who is looking to retire in the next 8 years, I'd like to see my 401k grow.
Yes.
Rather than hemorrhage.
Yes.
Which it has been doing lately. So that's kind of like the politics. Anything else jump out at you politically here?
No, not really. I mean, it's been a sort of slow news cycle. I mean, there's a lot of various different things going on, but I think we can move on.
Okay. Well, if you need a new roof, I'm going to tell you who you should call. Get them out there and have that roof examined. Royal Roofing and Solar at 816-540-7057. You know, when I have my HVAC units serviced this time, we have a heat pump at our house. We have two heat pumps. And my servicing guy said, don't run your heat pumps. Run actual, it's got a mode where you can run like emergency heat on it, which basically bypasses the heat pump and goes right to the gas-fired furnace. He said, because gas prices, natural gas prices are lower than your electric rates right now. So that's a way you can get around the system here. Maybe you turn your home into its own power generation unit. Mike Dale at Royal Roofing and Solar, he can show you how to get that done. He's been a guest on our show before. Either way you're going to go, your home is your biggest investment. And if you need a new roof, Royal Roofing and Solar is the way you should go. 816-540-7057. Austin Watterson's company is based in Cass County. They've been around for a long time. It's a family-owned company. They're not fly-by-night. You're going to get the best deal. They are the roof at my house. So it's the roof over Casa del Carter. It could be the roof over your house as well with Royal Roofing and Solar. Funhouse Pizza is the place to go if you got a party, a celebration coming up. Who knows? Maybe your company's going to do a little Christmas get-together. That might be fun. And Funhouse Pizza with two locations, Blue Springs and Lee Summit, would be the place to get that done. Jim Dingman will take care of you in a big, big way. The pizza's fantastic. The beverages are cold, and the atmosphere is more than fun. Funhouse Pizza, 50 Highway in Lee Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. It's the home of the live events of Dale Carter's America, the podcast. Anytime we're going to take the show on the road, that's where we're going to go. In fact, Blue Springs is on the clock. I'm not sure when we're going to get that done, but Blue Springs, you are next. Up next on the podcast, I have titled this segment, Annie, Get Your Gun. And it is brought to you by our friends at Clay Como Shooters. And you're going to want their website on speed dial on your computer, claycomoshooters.com, because the murder rate in our town continues to soar. As of last week, we were at 166 murders in Kansas City proper for 2023. Over the weekend, we added number 167. That compares with 150 from the same period last year. And Kansas City, it's a violent town, Kurt. We are set to surpass St. Louis this year. That is, I mean, St. Louis with all of its problems, and it's spilling into the suburbs too. We see the news every day, and wherever you're listening or watching Dale Carter's America, the podcast, it's happening in your town too. It's spilling out of the cities. It's coming into the suburbs. It's not good. This is definitely not good. And with that as a backdrop, the Kansas City Public Schools, which are dreadful, dreadful. If you live in Kansas City proper, you want your kids in private school. The best thing that you can do is move out of the city. And when I moved here in 1995, you know, we were looking for a school district because my kids were young. And the best advice I got in a Prodigy chat room, are you too young to know what that was?
Doesn't sound familiar.
Prodigy was like, as the internet was just like kicking in, it was like when you bought your IBM computer with its very slow modem, Prodigy was the program that you got. And I was in a chat room about the Kansas City Metro, and a guy told me the thing you want with kids and school and all that is you want a school district that starts with the word blue, whether that's Blue Valley or Blue Springs. And so we ended up in the Blue Springs School District, and very satisfied customers with that. I would not send my kids to the Kansas City School District. So their school board decided not to arm security guards at grade schools. Now think about that for a second. They put it out to the parents. Do you think we should have armed security guards with all these school shootings that are going on, these mass shootings, whether it's Nashville or Marjorie Stoneham School down in Florida? I guess they're going to bulldoze that school. Did you hear about that?
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, they're going to bulldoze it after that mass shooting. I think today is the anniversary of that. So the parents said no. We don't want armed guards protecting our children. In fact, they will proudly put up on every school building out there, this is a no-gun zone. We've talked about this many times on the podcast, Kurt. What do you think a criminal mind says or informs itself when it sees a sign that says gun-free zone?
Well, I'm looking up the data right now, but it's something like 95% of mass shootings happen in gun-free zones. So.
Right, because it's like a neon sign that says, hey, if you want to shoot up something and get yourself on Fox News and CNN and all that, look for a gun-free zone, because it's going to be easier for you.
And actually, we had part of the manifesto from the Nashville shooter, the transgender shooter in Nashville that came out last week, courtesy of Steven Crowder, and you can read through it. It's very disturbing. But one of the things that is very common throughout the theme is, like, she's saying she wants to cause as much damage as possible. She hopes that they're not ready. You know, she's going, getting her stuff together and finding a parking place, and she knows where she's going to go in because there's not going to be anyone there to stop her. So it's clearly, if you're going to do harm, you're going to want to do the max amount of harm as possible, and you're not going to want anyone to get in your way. So of course you're going to look for the softest target. It just makes sense. So it's very simple logic, really.
Meanwhile, Mayor Q, everywhere he goes with a security detail. We protect the important people in our society. But what about grade school kids at a time when this is going on? And why not have armed security guards there? There's been an argument for arming teachers. You know, good guy with a gun who's properly trained, like you can get at Clay Como Shooters, can repel a bad guy with a gun.
Every time.
Yeah, we've seen that. So Clay Como Shooters, you can get your firearms, you can get your training, range memberships, pistols, rifles, ammo, accessories. If you're going to do this, though, commit to it and get the training, because they will train you properly. Clay Como Shooters is in Clay Como. It's on 69 Highway, right between I-35 and 435. Herb and his team will train you up. You'll make smart decisions. And his hope and our hope is you would never have to draw that weapon in defense of you or someone else. But if it's needed, you should be trained.
Right.
And you should be armed to get this done. Because the idiots on the left, and they are idiots, it's like, whoa, we're just going to virtue signal. We're going to say gun-free zone. You know, back when I was on city council in Blue Springs, we had an ordinance come before us that was going to make our parks gun-free zones. And I led the charge to vote against it because, you know, not that I want the Wild West, but I want some doubt in the back of some idiot's mind that's going to come in and shoot things up. It's like, I may not want to go in there. They might have some folks that have guns.
Yep.
I'll go look for a gun-free zone. Mm-hmm. Let's find a gun-free zone. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, Director Wray from the FBI, he was testifying in front of Congress as our southern border continues to leak like a sieve. What might be coming across that border that you might need to be armed for to protect you and your family? We have the testimony of Christopher Wray.
Well, certainly we're in an environment where the number of tips and threats that are being reported to us have gone up significantly since October 7th. We were already, as I testified earlier, already in an elevated threat environment even before October 7th, and it's gone to a whole nother level since October 7th. The biggest chunk of the threats that have been reported into us by a good margin are threats to the Jewish community, synagogues, Jewish prominent officials, things like that. We also have a large number of tips and leads related specifically to Hamas and radicalization and recruitment. Well, certainly we're in an environment
We've talked about this before. There are cells that are already in this country waiting for some sort of an activation. And then, you know, if you're Hamas or Hezbollah, and you certainly read the news or hear the news, you know that we've got a problem on the southern border. Everybody but Kamala Harris seems to know that we've got a problem on the southern border. Why not just get a flight to Mexico City and take your band of merry marauders across that southern border and do what you're going to do? You know, President Biden, he's always attacking the folks who legally own guns. He always attacks them. He says, "Oh, you want to take on the government? You better get an F-15." This isn't about taking on our government. It's not. It's about dealing with threats that come to our security. Because you can't count necessarily on calling 911 and getting help in time for you and your family. You just can't. You know, they're stretched thin. They've dealt with things like defunding the police, which Joe Biden and the Democrats led on. You can't count on it. You've got to be your first line of defense, which is why I'm thrilled that Clay Como Shooters is part of Dale Carter's America.
Yeah, we're very thankful for their support. And yeah, definitely go get yourself trained. You know, be responsible and make sure that you know what you're doing. But it's important to protect yourself and your family.
And get insurance. You need insurance. And our guy that takes care of you has taken care of me for nearly 30 years is Bob Watson at State Farm Insurance. You know, we see all the State Farm commercials, and of course, it's a Red Monday in Kansas City. So we're going to see our Chiefs take on the Eagles tonight at Arrowhead. Now, that game will be in the books by the time you get this podcast, and hopefully it's going to be a big Chiefs win. But the biggest winner, it seems like, is Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, because they're making side money from State Farm.
Tons of side money. Tons.
They've got funny commercials. And the commercials are just there to get your attention. Now that we've got your attention that you need to look at your insurance, you know, maybe do a review as we're coming up on the end of the year, let Bob Watson and his team give you a quote. And trust me, I know they're going to take care of you. 816-229-7878, licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. They'll take care of your family with a tremendous staff right there in Blue Springs. And you got one of these spots you want to play?
Go for it. Keep talking. I'm just playing it.
Okay. All right.
You remember this one?
I do.
Should I turn the volume on?
Sure, why not?
And my auto.
Best bundle in the league, baby.
Man, why can't Patrick change his name? It could be Kelce and Kelce, how much you can save by bundling home and auto. Yeah? Make the letters smaller.
Mahomes, my auto, let's go!
Come on, model, let's get it. Put your jersey on.
My auto.
Just another way to save with the personal price plan.
Now, my favorite one is the one they shot in the restaurant in Independence with Andy Reid. And
we showed that one already.
Yeah, so. Now, tell me again about bundling with those nuggies over there. Those nuggies. All right. Well, thank you, Bob Watson, for being part of Dale Carter's America, 816-229-7878. As we leave you today, it is, of course, Thanksgiving week in America, a time to reflect back on what we're thankful for. We are coming up on the third anniversary of Dale Carter's America, and boy, has it changed and morphed and grown. And Kurt, you're a big reason for that, and I thank you for being part of this, because we started in a little room down the hall there. It was audio only. I had no idea what I was doing. There are days I still don't think I know what I'm doing, but you've added video to it. You can now get this podcast on YouTube and Rumble. Anywhere the audio is on podcasts, you can get Dale Carter's America. It's really grown, and you're a big reason for that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
So I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for my wife and my children, and I'm going to get to hang out with all of them over the course of the holidays. I'm thankful for my health. I've had a little bit of a health scare here, but I've got great doctors at KU who have guided me through that, and I'm on the tail end of that, and I think I'm going to be fine. I just turned 60, and, you know, 60 is the new 40. I mean, if 81 is the new 60, 60's got to be the new 40.
You don't look a day over 58.
And I can still put two words together. I can still walk. What else can I do that he can't do? All right. What are you thankful for?
Oh, man. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for my family and my health. You know, we have a baby on the way. I haven't really announced that publicly on the podcast, but
well, you should. It's getting close.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've had a lot of support from family and friends, and you know, it's just really very thankful for that, because it's very reassuring, and it's the good to have the support system. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for my health. Like I said, I'm thankful for my job, and I'm certainly thankful for this podcast and the opportunity to do this with you. It's been a lot of fun, and we're going to keep trucking and keep improving, and have a good time.
All right. Tell your friends, because we've got a big year ahead of us with the election coming up in 2024, and very thankful for you, the audience of Dale Carter's America. Go Chiefs tonight, and hopefully by the time you see this, we're going to be celebrating another victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. Until next week, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.